Hey, Low Code Approach listeners, this is Wendy Haddad. Before we jump into this week's episode, I wanted to let you know that we are starting to plan for the next season, and we want to make sure we hear from you on what is most important and relevant in terms of the topics that we'll be choosing. So if you could open a web browser and pop over to aka.ms/low-code-topic-request, that's aka.ms/low-code-topic-request, all one word. Fill out that brief survey on what topics and what subjects, what guests you might want to hear from. And who knows, maybe it'll make it into the next season of the podcast. Thanks so much and happy listening.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to a new episode of The Low-Code Approach. I'm Sean Feeney, Senior Product Marketing Manager on the Power Platform team. And I'm joined by...
I'm Wendy Haddad. I'm a Senior Cloud Solution Architect, Delivery Lead, and a former Microsoft customer. And I'm joined by...
I'm this guy who's just like thrilled about this episode because I get to talk about like one of my favorite topics, but also to debate about one of my favorite topics with one of my favorite people who will be introduced in just a moment. And I know this is really long, so yes... As always, I'm Ken Aguilar.
Thanks for that, Guy. I really appreciate that. We are joined today by Mihaela Blenda, the Principal Program Manager on the Power Platform team, focusing on security. And so actually, I'm going to frame up what we want to talk about. Usually, we talk a little bit about governance and security, but what's the difference between the two in governance and security, Mihaela? Can you give us some insight on what that actually is on Power Platform?
Yeah, of course. First, I want to say hi as well. Hi, everyone. And thank you for having me on the show. So when I talk to customers, I hear governance and security as overlapping terms. Like customers come to us with all kinds of questions and how do I secure this? And when I talk about governance, it's pretty much the same questions, or we have kind of the same answers. The way I look at it is when I think about governance is more about providing those controls, right? And being able to manage even security settings, but not only security settings at scale, and being able to, as an admin, right? Being able to set up your Power Platform deployment to, you know, run smooth at scale, being secure, but also from operational perspective, right? That's also governance. And there are other aspects that come into play when we talk about governance. I would say that, you know, it's the controls over end-to-end lifecycle of managing the platform, not just security, but obviously security is an important aspect of it. That's my take on it. I don't know if you guys have another perspective.
I mean, there's many different subsets to it, Mihaela, but we have Wendy here, and she was a former customer. Wendy, would you say that when you were an admin, you used to sort of preface things by saying, as an admin, I want to, and then those things were your role governance?
Kind of. I actually agree more with Mihaela because governance is more than just settings in an admin center. It is about the operationalization. It's about how you position and market the tools internally and train your end users. The policies and communications that you set. When I was a customer, I worked very closely with our security teams, and there is a security aspect and specific security tooling, which Mihaela, I know you're going to talk about, but there was also other aspects, talking to legal and privacy about the types of data included, talking to our customer success teams and operationalizing and operations teams and training. And that admin role is really the hub of all of those different roles and topics, owning the end-to-end lifecycle of the product. And so governance is also only as secure as your people is trained in some ways too, but there's ways you can enforce that with some of the security tooling. I mean, Sentinel is a great example. And I know your team is making investments there. And so I do think that it does encompass both the settings, but it does also, there's a little bit of a different role here when it comes to just the security layer. And that spans and integrates into other teams.
I think it's more visible in bigger organization that there is a separation of duties between, you know, a security admin and a, you know, admin that focus more on governance. It happens that, you know, with Power Platform, there is a bit of overlap when we talk about administration, because kind of encompassing everything like security admin from Power Platform perspective, obviously as we go broader things, you know, we do notice that separation of duties and having different target personas, if you want, sitting in different tools and performing different jobs to be done, as we call them, in the realm of security and governance. But from our platform admin perspective, at least from what I noticed, I would say medium and small customers, there is an overlap even in terms of the target persona that we're talking about. And they're performing both security and governance administration duties.
Let me ask you this, Mihaela. Oftentimes, we've talked about this before on the podcast, the overlap of duties and admin centers tends to be on the SharePoint side, where the SharePoint admin suddenly became the Power Platform admin. And yes, there's features, but they're not necessarily managing the Microsoft Security Center. Are you saying that you're seeing a Power Platform admin also managing the Security Center, or even in smaller organizations?
I would say within the realm of Power Platform, managing security for Power Platform, not broader. On your note regarding SharePoint admin becoming a Power Platform admin, I think as the platform will mature, we'll see less and less of that. This grows within an organization, I think that separation is going to be more visible. And I'm starting to see that, like, customers more focused on how do I secure the platform, but also, like, as we, and you mentioned earlier, right, about Sentinel and Purview and how will we integrate with other tools that we have available and other, you know, services that different security administrators in the company can use to have this single pane of glass of everything that is happening with regard to security in the organization. I think it's a maturity kind of path there that we're hopefully getting there, and we're going to see a more a distinct kind of personas. Yes.
So let's talk about the maturity there. Right? So much like your surname, there is a mixture of things within the platform that admins must do and understand, and they'll talk to you. Saw something, or maybe hopefully customers have seen within the release waves, that we are doing something to help them gain more visibility into, as you said, the jobs to be done within the platform. Can you tell us a little bit more about our plans and how that's going to look in the coming months?
Yeah, I'm actually very excited about that because that's a baby that I'm starting to grow myself. So I'm involved in that project, committing that project, so I'm very excited. What we're talking about is, I hope everyone saw release wave 2024, release wave 2 video that our CVP released just a week ago, I think, that talks about what we're going to work starting with April and what we're going to start, what customers can prepare for. And one of these projects is what we call a security hub, name to be determined. Like,
yeah, I don't know, yeah, we'll talk about that.
Sean, no, I don't know about that, my host. But what we're trying to do, and I love it that we're trying to concentrate and to enable security admins to have a single place to go within their PPAC where they can manage security settings or governance security, let's put it this way. And not only that, but also I would say that there's more importantly, we're trying to make that experience more opinionated, as in we're trying to guide admins on what they need to pay attention to when it comes to security. And you can think about it from various angles, following best practices, right? We have pages and pages of documentations, white papers on how you should configure your platform to be secure. We're going to draw attention through recommendations and on-the-spot guidance, walk you through the experience on how to configure those. Or you can think about like having different type of profile customers, right? We have the FSIs, we have health, we have government. How do you configure those defaults specific to, again, from a security perspective, specific to that company's profile to match the business requirements and the security requirements? Because we hear a lot that, you know, some companies, especially, you know, in the FSI space, they care about the compliance more than others, right? And then in that case, we're going to recommend features that are to configure, right, properly the features that we make available. Because that's one thing that last fall, actually, I started looking into this security space, and there are so many capabilities. The challenge that admins can have is like sometimes they don't even know where they are. Like it's a manageability and discoverability kind of challenge that they face. But also like then tell us, how do I configure them? So that's where we're trying to help them. So we provide the visibility and the guidance to do so in a single pane of glass. Like, you can have, you know, that security view for your our platform from different perspectives, like identity, network isolation, user and resource access, right, compliance, audit, and so on. It's all going to be in one place, in admin's path, right, in TPAC. So we're starting that. Looking forward to feedback and how we should prioritize, because again, there's a very, very long list of security capabilities that we have, and I'm slowly going to start adding them into this concentrated or experience in PPAC. And hopefully it's going to resonate with many of our customers, because that's what I hear from them.
Hey, Mihaela, so you touched on a lot of the pain points, kind of like why we're doing this. Tying back to some of the earlier conversations where we were talking about like differentiation between governance and security and the size of an organization, is there a target organization size that would benefit most from Security Hub, or is this something that like organizations of any size or organizations that are anywhere on the maturity model or the adoption model would benefit most from something like Security Hub? Name TBD.
I learned about the, you're a real mind, isn't it? I would say that's a good point, but I don't see Security Hub being, again, like, I think it's, we're trying to make it not just enable more visibility in terms of, like, we're just going to dump your features in one place. It's just to be more opinionated as well and smart, right? Then have smart defaults depending on your maturity as well. Like, we might have some recommendations for customers that have thousands and thousands and up, and different recommendations of customers that have maybe a smaller footprint, right? And they're just starting. Or one of the pain points that I hear from customers is like, I'm already in a mess, right? Like, how do I fix the mess versus a customer that just starts? Like, how do I start right? So I don't end up in a mess. So in this case, like, the Security Hub will help you to start right versus fixing your mess. So I think, yes, the plan is to address that challenge, right? Different challenges from not necessarily that, you know, it doesn't mean that the smaller customer should go somewhere else in PPAC to address security, right? It's just that the type of experience and the recommendations that they're going to see, that might be different than a different type of customer. And it's size, it's maturity, but also the profile, as I said earlier.
I want to understand a little bit more about the roles who would benefit from the Security Hub. So does the Power Platform admin get access by default, or are there additional security roles that are needed? And then a follow-up question to that, are some of these settings and controls, you know, I think about some of the shared integrations like Sentinel, are we overriding what's being set in another admin center by introducing it in Security Hub?
That's a very good point. Definitely the target persona for the Security Hub is the Power Platform admin, right? So we're also looking into how to filter that experience, you know, and obviously by respecting the security boundaries there for environment admins, because there are some, we hear that from customers that some of the activities around security, they are delegated to environment admins. But obviously we need to filter the experience based on the permissions. So yes, Power Platform admins lives in PPAC. This is an experience that is targeted for this persona. But then we have CISOs, we have ITSEC, right? That live in M365 Defender, they might have in M365 Security Portal and so on. One thing that we're thinking about is cross clouds experiences, right? Is to provide the Power Platform admins at least the visibility. In many cases, admins don't want to block things. They just want to be informed, and providing them with the visibility so they are aware how to react on the platform side, right? What settings to adjust depending on what they see from Sentinel side, like. And to just give you an example, a feature that we're thinking about is to at least notify the Power Platform admin that there are threats that are detected on the Sentinel side. And we need to be very careful there, because sometimes, you know, again, admin might not have permissions to see details about those respective threats, but at least notify them so they can communicate with their peers, right, from the security side, and adjust whatever they need to do on the Power Platform to proactively in the future, you know, catch those issues. I think that's something that definitely we're looking into, and vice versa, right? We're talking with our colleagues from Defender side to reflect some of the security posture from Power Platform at the level, like at aggregated level, right, in the Defender. So that target personnel, like the security, ITSec and CISOs have that visibility as well on the Defender side. So I think we're looking into this cross-pollination. That's also something that I think it's going to be very useful, because one thing that I hear is, need to go too many places, I don't have permissions, right, and so on and so forth. So giving that visibility, it's super important.
So let me dissect a lot of what I just heard, Mihaela, because that might be a lot for some of us. You know, me and I work very closely together, so I know all of that. I'll just say, you know, right? So one, Pessimus had been asking us for further first-party integrations. So to your comment, we are absolutely doubling down and committing based on feedback with the integration with Azure Sentinel and extending our capabilities, not only within Azure Sentinel, but Azure Sentinel providing signals back to us through what you said through Security Center, also through things like other PMs are working on, like Sid working on Advisor. So we're absolutely doing that. In terms of visibility, not only is Security Hub doing that, but we're also exploring other opportunities for admin delegation of roles and rights and permissions and things along those lines. Such that maybe a security admin can view something, the security posture, if you will, of Power Platform, and then effectively take action on that. But you also mentioned one very key thing that maybe we sort of glossed over, and this is something that customers have been asking us for as long as I can remember, and that is prescriptive guidance, not governance, guidance. Right. So you mentioned smart defaults. So let's maybe ask a question about something that I know you're aware that you know about. Cross-tenant isolation, or just call it, you know, tenant isolation. We tell everyone to turn this on. Why don't we turn that on by default?
I can't answer. You know why, but I can blame someone else, or I can tell you what happened. I would say that if we would start fresh now, yes, we will start with the tenant isolation on by default. One of the main reasons, and I don't find another one, that we didn't do that at the time, was that the concern that we're going to break existing customers, right, that have applications and flows that, you know, use illegitimate ones, right, that use cross-tenant connections. We're looking into an approach to address that, either through a staging rollout of the default. So yes, even if it's 3 years later, right, and after GA, we're still looking into how to make tenant isolation on by default, while, you know, still protecting these customers that have this applicational flows in productions. And obviously we don't want to break them, but maybe we can look into how we can stop the bleeding, if you want, with the new customers, right, that are joining the platform, turning this on by default for them. Where the customers, they don't have these connections, right? Because we can look at our telemetry now, we enrich our telemetry, we work with the IK hubs to have those signals and have more data now. We just want to do it in a cautious way. So I'm still pushing for it. Hope I didn't forget about it. I'll definitely communicate and over-communicate when it comes to something like this, which can be perceived as a breaking change, though it's the right thing to do. But I would say that the most important thing that we're trying to do, and the easiest thing, right, that we're doing in that regard, is to increase the visibility of this type of best practices, right, with the Security Hub and put it in front and center that you need to turn it on, and guiding again, sending, having recommendations, sending notifications, looking at a summary security posture will say that you're not yet in the green because tenant isolation is not on, for example, right? So we're trying on finding different fronts, and hopefully we'll see the needle being moved on in terms of like how many customers have this setting on. It is growing though, I would say, then that's a good signal. It's after GA last year, I'm seeing thousands more customers that turn this setting on, which is great.
I can also say that, you mentioned visibility again, because I say this probably a lot, you know, you can't govern and or secure what you can't see. And, you know, for us to be able to be providing a plane, a window, if you will, for everyone is absolutely phenomenal. Also, the integration with Sentinel, I think, is maybe something that many customers should, if I was still a customer, would love it was in this
3D. Like,
having seen the demo, they didn't try to put my customer hat on here and look at the demo from Ignite, where they were showing how you could do an end-to-end analysis and even forensic analysis of Power App and automation and whatnot within the platform for any type of unwanted or potentially malicious activity is phenomenal. And security professionals have been asking for this for years. They always want to say, hey, I don't know what's going on within your Power Platform, so we're not going to allow you to use it. Okay, we've just given you a fantastic window into all of this. Even things like something that I think Wendy's near and dear to your heart.
It's Purview. So we talk about bringing governance, or are we bringing your shadow IT to light? I talk a lot to customers about that. And I think that's part of what you're doing with the Sentinel integration. But I do want to pivot, because I would be remiss to not cover the Purview work that you were doing before this episode ends. Purview has been my world, especially with all of our AI advancements, with Copilot, making sure that customers feel confident that their data is secured, that they know where their data is. So can you please talk a little bit about, you know, what we're focusing on Purview with AI and Copilot and SharePoint Insights? Why should I care about it with the Power Platform? And can you talk a little bit about the integrations there?
Yeah, I thought we were going to end the episode and not talk about Copilot. So I'll answer your question, but I hope we're going to, you know, reserve 30 seconds to talk about Copilot and security, because that's top of mind for everyone. To answer your question, like what we have at this point already out there in public preview and customer can try today is using Azure Purview to scan their Dataverse data, their business data, and automatically apply labels to it. I would say that that's one step, right? But there is all these integrations, as you mentioned, like, you know, SharePoint and everything on the Office Suite side, right? That haven't been supported with Microsoft Information Protection, right? And we're trying to bring this down to the platform in various ways, right? Yes, ideally everything will fall through, right? In terms of like what, depending on what is the security label that has the SharePoint side has, it will fall through the stack when applications and flows are connecting to that. And the data is being moved out or across, not only out of the tenant, but from SharePoint to a different data source. That label idea is to be moved with the label to be moved with the data, right? You're asking why it's important. Every day we praise like 1,000 plus connectors, including connectors for SharePoint and so on. And it's very, very easy for makers to build apps that are taking the data out of the source where it's being stored and putting it somewhere else. And we need to carry it together with the data and this additional piece of metadata that the creator of the data is puts on it that talks about like how they want to protect it, right? If it's public information, if they want to secure it with for a security group and so on and so forth. So that's the part that we're working on and trying to, again, it's a very big scenario because there are so Office 365 works on that on 3 years ago, right? So we're trying to catch up with them. That's the next step in the Purview story. After we did the automatic data classification for Dataverse, now we're looking into the M365 integrations there. Again, we're looking at something to release later this year in that regard as well.
Nice. Mihaela, so security is an ultra complex topic and there's many, many avenues we can go down, and we're all really, really excited for Security Hub 2 to come out and to see what that looks like and how that's going to benefit organizations. In the meantime, as we wait for that to come out, what guidance would you like to provide, you know, Power Platform admins or security admins that are working on Power Platform? Is there any like documentation that they should be looking at or videos they should be watching? What do you recommend they go do?
Well, the problem that we're trying to solve is that it's too much, right? Then we're trying to stay into work with admins or to guide them to be more focused on specific tasks that they need to prioritize. We started on this journey of talking more about security last fall. And so folks that we didn't maybe watch our Microsoft Power Platform conference session focused on security, where we compiled, you know, based on different scenarios, all the security capabilities that we have on the platform. I recommend the audience to look at that. we always use, you know, important events like Ignite. We also touch on security aspects. I'm looking forward for a paper, a white paper that we're working on, and it should be ready. So hopefully we're going to see it live in this month, Just Security. It's a very rich paper, I would say. I collaborated, you know, cross-team collaboration there, lots of information. And it's somehow focused on financial services, but I would say that, you know, as we are developing and writing on it, we realize that it's a bit more than that. So a very good guide that customers can use. And definitely, like, look for new announcements from our end. I will always send customers to our documentation. Not only that, there are a lot of conferences coming up and a lot of opportunities for us to continue talking about security and have new exciting things to announce, like the Security Hub. I'm going to become like the Ken of security. I don't know. Ken is the Ken of governance. I'm going to be the security Ken.
Are you going to be a Dr. No or a Dr. Yes?
Well, I don't know. That's with security, I think I'm going to be more on the no side. Actually, I don't know. With security, what we want, actually, what I want to highlight is that we want to enable admins to enable their makers, right? We don't want to enable all these capabilities for admins to block the adoption of the platform, right? We want them to have the peace of mind that when users and makers are using the platform, they are doing so in a secure way. So I'm all for opening the platform with, you know, all these cool capabilities in a secure way. So I would say that that's not no, that's more like yes, but.
Awesome. That is very cool, Mihaela. Thank you so much for joining and giving us a glimpse at what's to come for security and governance. And what are some of the actions that admins can take now? We really appreciate that. And as we move further down the line and new releases are coming out, and we have, you know, big conferences coming up too, where we're going to talk a little bit more about security and governance, we'd love to have you back on to talk about what are those changes and what can customers expect. So thank you so much, Mihaela, for joining us. And we'll drop links to all the things you mentioned in the show notes.
Thank you for having me. And it's true, like, each of the features that we mentioned today deserve their own episodes on your podcast. So I think there is a lot more to talk about when it comes to security. Thank you again. I had lots of fun.